share with you from James Alexander regarding family devotions. He said, it is highly dishonorable that family worship as a spiritual service languishes and goes into decay in times when error and worldliness make inroads in the church. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing. James Alexander said, it is highly dishonorable that family worship or family devotions as a spiritual service languishes and goes into decay in times when error and worldliness make inroads in the church. Wow. No matter what happens, folks, make sure you and your family pray together. Stay together, pray for one another, and pray that the devil does not destroy family worship. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray that you would heal every Christian marriage and family based upon your holy word and everybody in the family doing your holy word and praying together at least in the morning and then praying throughout the day, sending prayer reminder texts every half hour as we do, or every hour, so that every 30 minutes and every hour can be blessed. It may be tough, it may seem dry, it may seem cold, but it's all about our faith in you and how we're praying with faith in you. And our focus is on you and what you can do, not our little words and what we think and what we say. It is praying to you and asking you to move. For we are reminded this morning that it is not by might, that is our little human puny might. It is not by our power, but it is by your Holy Spirit moving and working and changing and breaking and making and molding and causing us to find favor in the sight of people that we don't, we should not find favor in their sight. So, Lord, we pray that you would open up great doors for us today, pave the way for us. Lord, as usual, I'm excited and enthusiastic and giddy about another beautiful day that we have never seen before and a day that we shall never see again. So, Lord, help us to fight and to get things done in this day that we have not done in the past, and that we will not tomorrow is not promised us. So, Lord, help us to do it today for your glory, your praise, and your honor, and lead and guide and direct every Christian family to stay on point and to keep their hearts and minds stayed on you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please join me in reciting or reading the Apostles' Creed with additions. Light in the back. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Crucified, Jesus was crucified, he died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and the over 500 other brethren. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I believe it. Amen. Let's go to the family verses, Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, passages or passage that we read every day in our family since the beginning of our family. And today we're still dealing with the husbands in the family. Verse 25 says, husbands, God is speaking directly to husbands. And the truth of the matter is, God is really the only one who can speak to the husband about his behavior and his changing his behavior and becoming a better husband and man with real authority. And there's nobody really over him. The wife is not over the husband. She does not need to try to... I get so tickled at these little women. I'm trying to help him to be a good husband. I'm trying to help him to see some things. And I'm training him well. And so forth and so on. My sister, you need to sit down and be quiet. And you need to have a meek and quiet spirit. And stop nagging that man. Stop trying to manipulate that man. Stop pushing his little buttons that you know will get a certain reaction. Stop trying to control things. And let God be God over that man. I have said this in the past, the reason why most women do not submit to their husbands and follow his leadership willingly, cheerfully, and joyfully is not because they don't trust the man, they don't trust in God, and they don't trust God's word. It's not that they don't respect the man, they probably don't, but they don't respect God. They don't fear God. They're not willing to obey God's word. They don't have faith in God. And you can try to fix it up any kind of way you want to fix it up. That's the problem. And I also said the reason why husbands abuse their wives is because they do not fear God. They have no real respect and reverence for God. Because if you feared God, and trusted in God, and God was your center, you're not going to do that because you know God will get you. Make no mistake about it. That's why wives don't need to try to lord it over the husbands. You need to truly let God handle them, not with an attitude. I tell you, I just put God on you. God to take care of you, all this kind of stuff like that. We all know God's going to take care of him. So we don't need to hear that from you. I'm not going to say nothing. God to take care of you. And then you want to tell your girlfriends that over coffee, and God to take care of him. You don't need to say all that. You need to be quiet and sit down, have a meek and quiet spirit, and let God take care of him. You don't have to worry about it if you're trusting in God. Husbands, love your wives. That's a commandment. That is not a suggestion. It's not contingent on something else. It's not like this. Husbands, love your wives if she is dutiful and sweet and wonderful and pleasant to be around and has a smile for you every day, loves to see you come home, and she's always smelling good and looking good, and got your children cleaned up and in order, the house is clean, your food is ready when you get home, the bath is already set up for you, your clothes are washed, she's not terrorizing you by trying to tear your clothes up and trying to make things miserable for you. God didn't say that. Just like God didn't tell the wife, wives, submit to your husband if your husband is sweet and wonderful and opens the door for you and bring you some drawers every time he goes on a trip and and he takes you out on date night every week and all of that. And these are not suggestions, and these are not dependent upon anything else. Contrary to what the books are telling you, stop reading those books and read the Bible, because the Bible is a size fit all kind of a situation. That man's book, writing that book, that's what's happening and what's working with him and his wife. All women are not the same. Some of you men have read books and you went by the store and bought some flowers to your wife, and your wife can care less about flowers. In fact, she hates flowers because she doesn't want to take care of no flowers, and she'll take it and the vase and throw it in the trash can. That's the last thing on earth. She might want some money. The money you spent for those flowers, she could use that to do something with. You know, don't be trying to be like somebody else, man. You got a different situation. You are you, and she is a different woman than the man is writing about in that book. So stop doing that. Simply obey the word of God. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. You want to know how to love your wife? Love her in that way. In what way is that? We've already talked about it. True, pure, unconditional, agape love. It is more about a choice and a decision and not about your feelings. Your sinful nature will produce all kinds of feelings, and you'll have a feeling to just walk out the door and never come back, like so many other husbands have done, and gave himself for it, to finish the verse. Dr. David Guzik writes, in his Enduring Word commentary on the Bible, with the command for husbands to love their wives just as Christ loved the church, we might say that Paul taught two things at once here. He talked about the nature of the relationship between husband and wife, and he taught about the relationship between Christ and his church. Each illustrates important principles about the other. It demonstrates that Jesus loves his church with a special love. Jesus loves the world and died for the world. But just as a husband can have a general love for everyone, he must also have a special love for his bride. Using the love of an ideal husband as a pattern we could say that Jesus has a constant love for his people, an enduring love for his people, and a hearty love for his people. And so, ladies and gentlemen, God wants husbands to love their wives with his agape, unconditional love in a special way. And this is a commandment. This is not a suggestion, and it is not dependent upon her behavior or what she does. Now, that does not mean, sir, again, because this is where many men mess up. This is where my dear father messed up. I love my dad. He was a very loving man, but he loved us too much, and he loved my mother too much, meaning he let her have her way, which caused a whole lot of chaos and confusion in the home, and therefore they both, being pitted against each other, let us have our way, and two boys, two girls, the two boys got girls pregnant before marriage, and the two boys got girls pregnant before marriage, the two girls got pregnant before marriage, yet both of them being preachers. That's what you call confusion. That's what you call disobedience. That's what you call rebelliousness and foolishness. That is not a household, a Christian that's not how a Christian household should look. And so love must be tough at times. Love can be tender too when that is necessary and on point, but love oftentimes, depending on what kind of family you have, must be tough. If for some reason you have a spirit of rebelliousness and stubbornness in your family, coming from the wife's side, the husband's side, or wherever it's coming from, it has got to be dealt with. So love is not just letting people do what they want to do and cause a problem in the family. This is where many, many husbands have gotten confused and have messed up their families and their own peace. You have the right, sir, you have the charge, sir, to correct your wife and to correct your children and to do what is necessary to ensure peace and order and no confusion in that family and in that household, so that you can be at peace. And so that you will not have high stress levels in your household for yourself or for anybody else. And that's love too now. I hope that you have a wonderful, sweet, loving, cheerful, obedient, trustworthy wife. Many men don't. And if you got a wife like that, may God bless you. That's a wonderful situation. And if you're a good husband, man, that's a wonderful thing. You all truly trust each other and can depend upon each other, and you got each other's back. That's a wonderful thing to have. But most marriages, obviously, are not that way. And so we must obey the word of God and do it right, so that every Christian family can be victorious. Join me in praying for families. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would heal every Christian marriage and family. We thank you for those few marriages where the man has not compromised and the woman is sweet, she's cheerful, she's joyful, she's a truth teller, she's honest, she's trustworthy, she has a great attitude, she's mature in that even though she may not feel like doing something, or she may not feel like taking care of her family that day, she does it anyway, because that's what mature people do. And so, Holy Father God, bless those families. And where the husband is loving his wife, the wife is willingly submitting to her husband, and they are loving one another and raising their children in Christian love and obedience. And when they have to show tough love, they do it. When they have to show tender love, they do it as well. And Lord, we thank you for those beautiful families and those godly, peaceful families. Most of us don't have that kind of family. And things have to be put in place to deal with the evil in our families. And so, Lord, and tough love has to be shown more than tender love. And that's all right, as long as it's agape love, your kind of love for that person, that we will not enable them to do evil. We will watch them if they are liars and dishonest and disobedient. We will keep an eye on them, that's love as well, so that they won't drill a hole on the other side of the boat and cause all of us to sink and drown. And so, Lord, I pray that you give every husband wisdom, every wife wisdom, every child wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight, and help every family to pray together so that they can stay together and thrive together and do great things together for your glory, your praise, and your honor. Lord, help every husband, every father, every wife to set goals for their family. In every family, there's normally a family gift, a family talent. They all can gather around and do some great things for your kingdom. And also start a small business based upon their family gifts, and can have a side income coming in because of their talent and abilities, working together as a unit, as the families used to do so many years ago. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Psalm 109:14-20, speaking of families, pray for all of the families impacted by the tragedy on yesterday in Florida. We're going to be praying for that situation here shortly after we read the Holy Word of God. Verse 14 for our devotional Bible passage for today. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. And the church said, Amen. Now, beloved, regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes, the word of a divine curse, light in the back, is quick and powerful. It works powerfully and effectively. It fastens on the soul. It is a piercing thing, and there is no antidote against it. Let God's cursing to the wicked man be his shame, as his cursing his neighbor was his pride. Let it cleave to him as a girdle, and let him never be able to get clear of it. Let it be him to him. Let it be to him like the waters of jealousy, which caused the belly to swell and the thigh to rot. This points at the spiritual judgments which fell on the Jews for crucifying Christ. This will be the reward of all the adversaries of the Lord Jesus, his enemies that will not have him to reign over them, shall be brought forth and slain before him, and he will one day recompense tribulation to those that trouble his people. And the church said, Amen. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Have your Holy Spirit to continue to work mightily through your holy word to correct your people and to help everybody who names the name of Christ to confess their sins, to repent, to turn from their evil ways, and to humble, Lord, ourselves before you. And help us to get back to you, our first love and our first work, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, join me in prayer for the estates. You know what the five estates are at this point, so let's get right to it. Holy Father God, we pray for church servant leaders. We pray for all evangelists, all pastors, all missionaries, all church planters, and all denominational servant leaders. And we pray that you would give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and insight. We also pray that you would revive us again. And we pray for all governmental leaders. We pray for President Donald Trump and all of his administration based upon your holy word, as we've prayed for every president since Ronald Reagan. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We pray for President Donald Trump and his administration, Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including Deputy Director of Political Affairs Brian T. Jack, all leaders of federal agencies, including National Railroad Passenger Corporation President Charles W. Mormon IV, all state governors, including Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts, all city mayors, including St. Louis, California Mayor Linda Cruson. We pray for all members of Congress, including Oklahoma Senator Jim Inhofe, and all law enforcement officials, including Aurora, Colorado Police Chief Nicholas Metz, all military leaders, including James Mad Dog Mattis, General Stephen W. Wilson, and Vice Chief of Staff of the United States Air Force, leaders of nations around the world, Equatorial Guinea President Teodoro Basogo, and Prime Minister Francisco Assou, the peace of Jerusalem as well. We pray for Benjamin Netanyahu that he would hang in there and continue to be the modern day David that he is in protecting Israel and Jerusalem. In Jesus Christ's name, we continue to pray for all citizens in this country and around the globe. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings upon these people. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will not give them rest until they come to know you as Savior, and give the people wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and insight far beyond their years and their abilities. We pray for the old media and the new media, that they both would tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and that they would not make up fake news just to feel the 24/7 news cycle. We also pray for current events happening around the world. We pray for the comfort of the families and community affected by the deadly high school shooting in Florida, which left 17 people dead and 14, well, some are saying over 50 people wounded. And we know that these news agencies are told to tamp down on the numbers because they don't want to have these criminals be glorified. We understand that, but many others have been injured. We pray for the comfort of the families of the 71 people killed in a plane crash in Russia. We pray that you'll comfort the families in Florida, especially right now, today, since this is so fresh, and we pray that you bring healing to the hearts of the people as only you can, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would draw the people to yourself and to your Bible-believing churches for solace, for comfort, for salvation, and for growth. We pray for the comfort of the families of Westerville, Ohio, police officers who were killed last weekend. And Lord, be with them as only you can, and help them to stick close to you. And Holy Father God, we pray now for the prayer requests that have come in. We thank you for entrusting us with hundreds of prayer requests, and we pray for all of those people that you would hear and answer their prayers, hear and answer our prayers for them, and deliver them from their troubles and their problems, and provide for them the things they need. We pray by name for Bushibi. Please bless them as they pray and fast next week. Bless the pastors and leaders conference and graduation in March. Deliver their land from drought and guide them in reaching the interior areas of Africa with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for Inna. Please give her faith, confidence, peace, and joy in you. Deliver her from depression, and deliver her from being bullied. Help her not to hate herself. And Holy Father God, we pray for Polly. Please fill her and anoint her to do everything by your Holy Spirit's power, and use her to do your work. We pray for Karen. Please reunite and save her family. What a prayer. Heal their marriage and their family. And we pray, Lord, for those who have trusted you as Savior recently. Help these to grow in the faith. We pray for Joji, Alfio, and we pray for Robert. We pray for those who have recommitted their lives to Christ. Help these to stand strong and never backslide again. We pray for Joseph, Ronell, and Verlaine. In Jesus Christ's name, we commit these souls into your hands as well as ours. Let your will be done and not ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading is titled The Discipline of Hearing. The Discipline of Hearing by Oswald Chambers. Matthew 10:27 says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Sometimes God puts us through the experience and discipline of darkness to teach us to hear and obey him. If you didn't get that, allow me to share that with you again, because this will set you free. Obedience to God will set you free, my beloved. Sometimes God puts us through the experience and discipline of darkness to teach us to hear and obey him. Amen, somebody. Songbirds are taught to sing in the dark. And God puts us into the shadow of his hand until we learn to hear him. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark." Pay attention when God puts you into darkness, and keep your mouth closed while you are there. Are you in the dark right now in your circumstances or in your life with God? If so, then remain quiet. Amen, somebody. If you open your mouth in the dark, you will speak while in the wrong mood. Darkness is the time to listen. Don't talk to other people about it. Don't read books to find out the reason for the darkness. Just listen and obey God. If you walk, or rather if you talk to other people, or if you walk to other people and talk to other people, you cannot hear what God is saying to you. When you are in the dark, listen, and God will give you a very precious message for someone else once you are back in the light yourself. Amen, somebody. That's good stuff. Now, who wrote that? That's Oswald Chambers. I kind of thought that was him. All right. Let's pray. Holy Father God, help us to take heed to this truth this morning from this insightful brother who has now gone home to go to you, Lord. Give us your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, your insight. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to remember what we have just read here today. Lord, help us to remember that we may go through difficult times to be put in a position to hear you and to hear what you are saying to us. And we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here and to hear this today. Help us to walk in the strength of it and become the Christians you want us to be in this sin-cursed world. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, in closing, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin in your life and in mine. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin, and our soul goes to hell forever. So thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that is bad news right there, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ, the same Jesus who uttered that verse, told us this in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul from sin and from the punishment of sin, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer, phrase by phrase. When you pray it, mean it from your heart. For the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, your heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and he is your Savior now. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have done wrong in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe in Jesus Christ with all of my heart. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find a pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Is my prayer.